where Jonathan and Susan Plomp were. And the nurse was very serious at the station, and she said, "Other end of the hall, labor and delivery." Not with a man's voice. So I ran down. I didn't run. I walked down through the double doors, another set of double doors, to the labor and delivery room, and wing, I should say, and asked the nurses at that station, "I'm looking for Jonathan and Susan Plomp." They said, "Right around the corner, room number 5. And I did. I went around the corner to room number 5 and peeked my head in. And there Susan sat with her 10-hour-old baby. And Jonathan was there filling out paperwork, probably figuring out what name. And sure enough, Eliana Janesta Plomp was born this week. They're not here this morning, but can we praise God for a new life? Praise God. Oh, the miracle that never ceases to amaze, right? A miracle that never ceases to amaze. You know, Easter morning is about new life. Easter morning is about new life made possible because of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, we remember with sadness that He was crucified and killed, taking our sins upon Himself. On that day, His body was laid in a borrowed grave. His clothes were gambled over. But on this morning of mornings, we celebrate the fact that He did not stay in the tomb. Death could not hold Him down. The weight of our sins could not keep Jesus in the grave. The Son of God is alive, raised to life through the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. From John 11, we read, if I could just flip over to the projector. From John 11, we read these words of Jesus. And actually, it was interesting. On Good Friday, a tradition of mine, and as I grew up with, we walked through cemeteries on Good Friday. And I went to Little Lake Cemetery. And as if you've been to Little Lake, and as I know most of you probably have, you know there's a big Morrow Memorial as you're walking in. And inside this building, which has, it's a small structure with marble floor and walls, with the door locked, obviously. You can see through the glass, and there's a stained glass window in there, a single stained glass window, and it's of Jesus. And the scripture over that stained glass is this from John 11. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Jesus changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. The first Easter Sunday wasn't an event in history that came and went without impact. It wasn't like a popular story that hits the tabloids for a day or two or a week and then is gone again. The resurrection changes everything and changed human history forever. Without a doubt, this event in history has made more impact on human life than the greatest of scientific discoveries, the greatest mathematical findings, the most incredible technological advancement or human achievement. That's because the resurrection of God's Son, the second person of the Trinity, makes an eternity of difference in the human heart that yields itself by faith to the one who made it. To be sure, this year billions and billions of dollars will be spent in research all around the world in an effort to accomplish big things. Countless dollars will be spent in research in attempts to discover cures for diseases, improvement in technology, in an effort to discover more about the universe we live in. And some of those research dollars and efforts will be of worthwhile cause, but nothing compares to the surpassing greatness of what has already been accomplished by our awesome God who raised the Lord Jesus from the grave. Now that's a great spot for an amen. Let me give you another try. Nothing compares to the surpassing greatness of what has already been accomplished by our awesome God who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Amen. Amen. new life and eternal life hinge on the glorious resurrection. They are possible. Life now, life everlasting is possible, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done, what God has done, raising Him for us. The resurrection, dear congregation, profits us who believe, both now and forevermore. God has said in His Word in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection is central to our very confession of faith, as we see here. But saved from what, Pastor? Someone here might be asking that this morning. Saved, dear one, from the consequence of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as was read earlier this morning in our children's moment. That's all have sinned, you and I. And what is the consequence of sin? The grave consequence of sin is death. Also read this morning from Romans 6:23. In plain language, the consequence of sin is death and hell, the place of eternal torment, a destiny of separation from our just and loving Maker. That is the place of death. But here is where Jesus stepped in for us. That first Easter weekend, He stepped in for you and for me in all and all humanity. The death and the resurrection of Jesus was the outworking and the application of what we read in Romans 5:8, which says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If you've not already bowed the knee to Jesus, confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, if you've not by faith received the gift of salvation that is offered to you personally, I pray this Easter 2015 would be the day of redemption for your soul. Please come speak to me. Speak to the person who brought you here if you have questions about that. With God's help, our theme and the title of my message this morning is New Life Now. New Life Now. If you've got a Bible with you, I want you to open to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, page 1754 in the Pew Bible. New Life Now. While you're turning there, let me set up the context. The Apostle Paul has been writing about the gospel in the book of Romans and our need for salvation through the first five chapters. When he gets to chapter 5, the grace of God is proclaimed. Verse 20 of chapter 5 says, "Where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Led by the Holy Spirit, Paul anticipates how this might be misunderstood or misrepresented, misinterpreted. So he continues in Romans 6. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's read, follow along rather, as I read 1 to 14. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. If we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this, your holy word, for the depth of truth within it. Speak to us now through your Spirit. Continue, Lord, to minister to our hearts. Change us where we need to change. Transform us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Salvation, loved ones, by grace through faith in Jesus, first and foremost, changes our eternal destiny, doesn't it? We are born again by the Spirit, as Jesus described to a man named Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And this eternal life doesn't start when we physically die. It starts the moment we believe. Eternal life now. From the time we learn to trust Jesus, and you may or may not know that exact day or hour, God knows the details. The point is, we believe. You believe. As also read this morning from 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a verse I love to recall. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If you remember anything from this Easter morning message, remember these eternal words of God from 2 Corinthians 5:17 and also from a key verse of our text this morning, Romans 6:4. Let's read this one together. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The English Standard Version translates that last line this way: we too might walk in newness of life. Our resurrected and glorified Savior has not just set us free from the penalty of sin, He's also freed us from the power of sin. Let me put that up for you. Our resurrected and glorified Savior has not just set us free from the penalty of sin, He's also freed us from the power of sin, so that we might live differently after meeting Jesus, because of meeting Jesus. The penalty of sin that we are freed from is what I mentioned a moment ago, spiritual death, separation from God, a life in torment after death. The power of sin that we are freed from in Christ is the day-to-day grip of sin. So whether that sin is a self-centered attitude, whether that sin is a tendency to gossip, whether that sin is alcoholism or pornography, Jesus sets us free because of the work He did by His death and resurrection. Doug Moo puts it another way: God gives us hope for the future, but He also wants to transform the way we live until we attain that hope. The transformed life, the new life, the newness of life that Romans 6 verse 4 is talking about. I'd never seen the butterfly put on the end of the wordless book story, but I think that's so fitting. The butterfly symbolizes transformation, new life. And that new life is found in Christ. As opposed to the empty and meaningless life, Jesus offers us new life. John 10:10 says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, only God offers hope beyond the grave. Only Jesus can give us a full and abundant life that we were made to live for. Only He can give us the grace we need to be transformed here on earth. until that hope is attained when we see Him face to face. So as opposed to the empty and meaningless life, a life without purpose or cause, Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus was raised to life that we might have the full life, a full of joy, a full of peace, full of hope, full of love, full of God in the Holy Spirit. The atheist or unbeliever has no lasting purpose or eternal hope beyond this life. Fundamentally, they believe their very lives are the result of chance. It's an accident somewhere in space that happened so many millions of years ago. It's random. It's unintended. And if life is an accident, if it is fundamentally meaningless, then where is the hope beyond this world? Where is the hope? Where is the purpose? Is life just a few short years and then we're done? No. No. In that way of thinking, death still has a sting. But Jesus has conquered death. Death has no sting. Death has not the final word for the believer. Thanks be to God. From Romans, or rather 1 Corinthians 15, we read, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we don't muster up the victory on our own. The penalty and power of sin were too big for us to overcome by ourselves. We needed Jesus. We needed Him to overcome sin's penalty. And we need His daily grace to overcome sin's power. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Apostle Paul here in Romans 6 anticipates a misunderstanding of God's grace, realizing that the abundant grace of God may be taken by some as a ticket to keep on in sinful living. He writes in Romans 6:1, as we read a moment ago, What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. May it never be. May it never be. Should we say to ourselves, God's forgiven me, He's gracious, so it doesn't matter how I live now? May it never be. Verse 2 continues, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And verse 11 of chapter 6 repeats that idea. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Verse 13 speaks to the positive angle. It reads, rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. The new life now is the life that is altered by God. And, at the same time, a life that is offered to God. It's an instrument in the hands of its Maker. Dear believer, we celebrate this Easter Sunday morning, the risen life of Christ. When we thank God for our new life through Him, we pause to reflect. Is there a part of your life, is there a part of my life today that does not resemble the newness of life that we have through Jesus? I wonder if some are staying in baby form. You know, as we think about babies, and as I started this morning, I mentioned about the newest baby plump, baby Eliana. There's another pretty small baby in our midst here. And his name is Brantley. And he does really good by sleeping for us. And sleeping for me. And he's snoring. But can you imagine new life? Can you imagine if as Christians, when we got new life in Christ, that we stayed babies? Can you imagine if we stayed 12, 15 pounds? 13. I'm pretty close. Can you imagine if we just stayed babies all of our lives? baby Christians, not really growing up, if we stayed in diapers, that's not what Christ died for alone. He came to give us life, but He came to give us a newness of life that continues to grow on and on and on. If you're here this morning and maybe you're feeling like you're still a baby Christian, well, guess what? God wants to help you grow up. God wants to help me grow up. We've all got growing up to do. We do. That is the newness of life that continues on. We don't stay the same. We don't stay 13 pounds and in diapers all our lives as believers. So we listen to the Spirit's prompting. We believe Easter didn't just mark a change in our eternal destiny. It marked a change in our life here and now on this earth. I believe He's calling some of you, some of us today, to surrender sinful habits, ungodly attitudes, chain-binding unforgiveness. He's calling some of you who've been Christians for years to Romans 6:4, newness of life. He has the authority to do that because He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who says in Revelation 24, I am making everything new. Where does your life today need to be made new and to be made more looking like the risen Savior? Listen to the Spirit of God speaking to your heart through His Word. It's a process. None of us have arrived. But we are given new life now through Jesus Christ. Not just new life after death. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for giving us new life through the risen Savior. Help us, Lord, to walk in this newness of life. Help us to walk in this newness of life today. To change ways of thinking so that it reflects more of Your way of thinking. Whether it be an attitude, whether it be a habit, whether it be a relationship that needs mending. Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit deposited in our lives as believers grow. So may the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness and self-control be ever abundant in our lives as believers. For Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.